Claire, welcome. Welcome. I'm so glad that you're joining us. I want you to pull up a chair and just lean into a good conversation that we're about to have with some young people whose story is going to completely inspire you and challenge you to be your best self. Stay tuned. You're not going to want to miss this one. Special show, a show that I've been very, very excited about. I kind of been sitting on the edge of my seat to get to this particular episode because we're going to talk to some young people who have really made some decisions, some choices, walked some paths already that many adults haven't even chosen to make. They've kind of pushed past some fears. They've done extraordinary things in different genres of life, and I'm inspired by each and every one of them. So we're going to be interviewing and talking to some young people who I think that your young people are going to be blessed by, but I think you're going to be blessed by them as well. And I thought, what better way to interview a whole group of young people than to have a co-host that's a young person himself? And I know a few of those because I have three little boys that I'm trying to raise to be warrior men, and they will be, or I will spank them. I've got one of them that is with me today. He is my youngest boy. He's going to be my guest co-host tonight. Would you please help me to welcome tonight Mr. Jude Shire. How are you, buddy?
Good.
You're doing okay? Are you going to be my co-host tonight?
Yep.
Okay, well, you got to get your questions ready. You got to sit up straight. Co-hosts kind of sit with their knees together. You got to lean forward, chin up. There you go. Oh, too much? I'm so glad that you're co-hosting with me tonight, Jude. I want you to know that we have co-host mugs tonight. You know how you see co-hosts on television and they have mugs and it looks like they're really drinking something really important? What is it?
Water.
Yeah, it's just water. But we'll look important while we're drinking it. And it will give us an opportunity to introduce our two guests for tonight. So our very first guest is a young lady who we love very, very much. We've seen her grow from a young child to become a wonderful young lady who is not only a sister, not only a daughter, not only a cousin to somebody that I know, but she's also a wonderful little actress who had the privilege of starring in the movie War Room. She played my daughter in the film. Jude, would you please introduce this next guest?
Alina Pitts.
Well, you need to say it more excited, like a co-host. Alina Pitts, try it.
Alina Pitts.
Oh. Come on, everybody. Help me to welcome Alina Pitts. Come on, stand up. Come on over here and have a seat, Alina. So glad that you're here.
Thank you.
Glad that you're joining us. I think you're a delightful young lady, and I can't wait to talk to you even more. And then also we have another young lady you don't remember? Don't remember? I'll introduce her since you don't remember. Okay. She is a wonderful young lady who has many incredible things going on in her life, but most people know her because she plays on this, you know, little small show that's really struggling. Nobody ever watches it except they do. It's on the Disney Channel, KC Undercover. This is Trinity Stokes. Come on, let's greet her, buddy.
How are you not going to remember my show, Jude?
I know. What is that with that?
Show? You're amazing.
Oh, well, it's Trinity Stokes, and it's Trinity with a very special, interesting spelling. Scoot over close to me, co-host. All righty. Tell me exactly how you spell Trinity, because you're real specific about how people spell this name of yours.
T-R-I-N-I-T. Wait for it. E-E.
Mm-hmm.
There's no Y.
There is no Y. And any interesting spellings with your name there, Alina?
No. Just five letters.
Just five letters. But how do you spell it? Just for the record.
A-L-E-N-A.
A-L-E-N-A. Well, both of you are lovely ladies. Aren't they lovely ladies?
Thank you.
Beautiful ladies.
Thank you.
And you're so accomplished. We're so inspired by you. It's easy to be inspired by you because at a young age, you've both already accomplished such incredible things. So we want to know about the highlight things that really people, when they get a good look at you right off the bat, they remember you from War Room or they remember you from your television show on the Disney Channel.
Yes.
And we, KC Undercover, that's right. And we want to ask you a question. We're going to start with you, Trinity. Jude actually has a question for you. He wrote it down earlier today. I thought this was a really good question. Ask this question right here, Jude.
Trinity, are there any parts of your job that you don't think are fun?
Any parts of your job, taping that television series, that series that goes out all over the world, that honestly isn't quite fun for you? Anything you could think of? Is it all fun?
It's all fun.
It's all fun. So what does it look like to film a show like that? Because everybody wants to know, what does it look like to be a part of a program that's so ongoing?
So our work week is kind of like this. It goes from Monday to Friday. So on Monday, we'll have a table read where we get the new script, and we'll just read over it with everybody and get a feel for how it's going to go. And then we'll rehearse that day. And then on Tuesday, we'll get another new script, and then we'll rehearse that day. But today, we have like a producer run-through with all the producers that are there to give us some critiques, because we film on Thursdays and Fridays. But on Wednesdays, we get another new script. And then we have another run-through where we can invite friends and family just on Wednesdays. And then on Thursdays and Friday, we film, and over the weekends, we get our new script. So we go through about like 5 scripts a week.
You do. So you've got a lot to pile into your head.
But I do, but it's kind of weird. Like, my brain just kind of sucks it all in.
Yeah.
I went to this class, and they were like, if you read things before you go to bed, it'll lock in. So I always read my script before I go to bed, and I guess it locks in.
Well, there you go.
Science. Oh.
Alina, your experience was a little bit like that, too, because there you were. You found yourself on a movie set, which, by the way, it's not like you had been acting a whole long time before you got to War Room, right?
No, not
okay, so could you just tell us just a little bit about what the experience was, about how you even got to be a part of that film?
It was definitely a God thing, but, like, if I was, like, still a normal human being, there's no way I would have gotten that, like, at all if God wasn't real. So, like, I guess it was just, like, he uses, like, other people to, like, help you, I guess, sort of.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't that I knew you. It was that you knew me so that you could introduce me to them and so I could do something that I never, ever thought about doing.
Yes.
And so it was just really interesting.
So just to give you a little backstory here, many of you know that I was able to play in the film War Room. And so I was already a part of the cast. They'd already asked me to do it, but we were looking for somebody that could play my daughter. So they were auditioning a whole lot of actresses that were already in film and already in theater. But I said to them, hey, I have, we call each other aunt and niece, actually, but literally we are actually cousins. And I said, I have this young lady that I know, and I think she might be able to do a good job. So she came and she auditioned for the role, and
I got it.
She got the role. We were all, and she did a great job. Didn't she do a good job?
Thank you.
And so as you hear Trinity talking about table reads and scripts and all that stuff, what was that like for you when you had to, did you look at all your lines in the film and go, oh my goodness, how in the world am I going to retain all this? Or was it easy for you?
It wasn't, I mean, for us, we have to memorize it. Like, they give you a little, what do they call those?
Sides.
Yeah, they give you a side. It's a really weird name.
But
they
I give know, because when we heard that they were going to give us sides, I'd never heard of sides except the ones that come beside some fried chicken. That's the only, it's the only side that hurts.
Beans?
Yes, but sides are actually just the script basically for the day. What they're going to film for that day, they call it sides, and they give it to you in the morning.
Yeah, so you read that, like, the night, I read it, like, the night before, because it's, like, literally 3 lines. And so it's just really simple. And then you say it the next day.
Yeah.
About 10 times. And then it kind of just gets, like, stuck in your brain.
Yeah.
So if you do have to go back, like, a month later and, like, redo that part, you kind of remember it because you said it, like, 50 times. So it just gets, like, implanted in your brain.
Yes.
Like, I could still, like, remember all of them. Well, that's not true at all. But I could remember some of them.
Okay, so, Jude, I think that exact same question that you asked Trinity, that would be a good question for you to ask Alina. Why don't you read that one again?
To Alina?
Yes, that one to Alina, yes. Such a good co-host. This one right here, yes.
Alina, the same question I asked Trinity. Okay.
Go ahead, but ask it. Read it.
Are there any parts of your job that you don't think are fun?
So was there any part of that summer that we filmed that it just wasn't fun for you?
A lot of it was like, it wouldn't be fun for another kid who doesn't like to, like, sit. And, like, a lot of it is just, you hurry up and then you just wait for like 5 hours. Like they do your makeup, they're like, oh my gosh, we're on a tight schedule. And then you sit and you wait for like 10 hours. And so you just sit there. And so that was probably a little bit hard because you want to like run around and play with all the other kids that were there, because there were like a lot of kids on the set. But you want to play with the other kids, but you can't because you can't get your hair messed up and stuff. And so you had to like sit there. But, I mean, I'm kind of chill, and I like to, like, sit there.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't really hard for me to do that. But, I mean, I can imagine, like, other kids having a hard time, like, sitting there and just...
Well, what about you, Trinity? Is it hard for you to sort of sit in between takes or when you're waiting on others to do their parts?
Well, not really, because most times I have to go to school. So I have... because I have to get my 4 hours in for school. So I always go to school in between sets or... grab a bite to eat, a little snack.
And when you say school, what does that look like? I think everybody's kind of curious to know, if you're filming and working all those days, what does school look like?
Okay, so we have this big box. Not really a box. It's like a little square building with a couple windows and a door. And we have boards in there and a desk, a couple desks in there. And so I do school in there with my teacher. And it's set up kind of, sort of like a real schoolroom. And we have pencils and pens and all the books in there.
But and is this for all the kids that are on the cast?
Everybody that's in that episode. So when Zendaya and Camille were doing school, we were all in there. But now that it's just me in there, and I have all the extra space to do experiments and everything.
How did you do that neck thing just there?
It's like a little...
You know, if you had a little personality, it would just be a little better.
Yeah,
better
you know, for I you. Get that a lot.
Yeah. Both of you have such beautiful personality, and what we love about you is that, yes, you have kind of extraordinary jobs where you've made a mark on people in a really broad way, but you're still young ladies. How old are you?
I'm 10.
You're 10 years old, and how old are you?
12.
Okay, so Jude has a question for you, specifically that he wrote down for Alina, but we're gonna ask both of you this question.
Both of you. What do you like to do in your free time?
Okay. Well, I like to listen to music. I like to sew, and I like to read. I'm currently reading Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children. So good. Anyway, I also like to color.
You do?
Coloring is so much fun.
Are there particular things that you like to color?
I like to color unicorns because they're really fun and you can just switch it up. And then I have this big, giant coloring book with just random things in it. Like, there's an American apple pie in there, and they just have random things like animals and flowers.
And you love coloring them.
It's really fun.
And what about you, Lena?
Sports is, like, my top thing. And then probably, like, I started doing dance, which is really weird because I'm not, like, into dance, but it's actually really fun. So sports, dance. I mean, coloring's cool. It's not really my interest.
It's, like, relaxing.
Yeah, it's cool.
It kind of just cools you down.
I like when you, like, color it a certain way because it's just, it matches.
Yeah.
Never mind. Anyways, so, yeah, I mean... Now my
co-host
free time
can't
is
yawn.
Kinda just...
Co-host can't yawn in the middle of the interview.
Go ahead.
You have a lot of stuff in your free time. Mine is, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
well, and tell us about your family life, okay?
Oh.
You have siblings. Start with you, Elaine. Tell us about your mom, your dad, your siblings, just regular family life. What does that look like for you?
So I have 3 sisters, so it's a lot of girls. And then I have my dad and my mom. And so my dad is normally like, he'll play with us and stuff, but eventually he'll go and sit with the dog because he's the only other male. And so, you know.
So your dad goes and sits with the dog because he's the only other boy in the house.
But the dog doesn't really favor him.
Yeah.
So
I heard that the dog just, as soon as the dog hears you guys, sees you guys, knows that you're around, just runs to you.
He's woken me up like the past 4 mornings at like 6 in the morning.
Do you love it?
Aww.
What kind of dog?
He's a Yorkie poo, but he looks like a poodle. He just has, like, the Yorkie side.
Black or white?
He's black.
Oh.
He's so cute.
Really cuddly, huh?
Yes.
Okay, cool. So you've got your dad and your siblings.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I have my friends and stuff. And then I
but
sometimes...
But you forgot your mother. Your mother.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
My mom's really important, so you guys know.
Yes, she is. She... One day you will rise up and call her blessed is what you're going to do. Yeah.
So we're writing a book together, so we like to write together sometimes.
We're going to get to that in just a few minutes, too.
And then, You know, she's just really important. She does a lot of stuff for us.
She does.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. You got a cool family.
Thank you.
You kind of skimmed over the fact that you have three sisters, but tell us their names and tell us how old they are.
Cameron and Olivia are twins, and they're like total opposites, really like opposite.
How old are they?
They're seven.
Seven.
Yes.
That's right.
And then Caitlin is nine. She turns 10 in December 23rd, and she's really excited about that. She's like planned out her whole birthday party.
Trampoline park. It's an indoor trampoline park.
Are you going to the party?
What's up with the faces today, co-host?
Why are they busting out on me?
Because you're the co-host. You're in front of everybody. You're supposed to be. Next person, okay. We need to know about your family.
So it's just me, my mom, and my dad. I'm working on a dog here. Working on it. But it's just me, my mom, and my dad. And we like to hang out and spend family time together. We really like to watch movies. On Friday nights, it's like family night, and normally we'll get like pizza and wings.
What kind of pizza do you prefer?
Well, my mom likes margarita pizza. It's really good, but I don't like the tomatoes on it. You know, I'm finally getting into tomatoes.
Finally.
Finally.
Well, everybody comes to a point in their life where they start getting into tomatoes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So mommy likes margarita pizza, and me and daddy, we just like sausage or
just
anything.
Meat, just meat.
Meat.
Yes. And because if you have to order a pizza, Jude, you and your brothers, what kind of pizza would you like to have?
Sausage.
Yeah, sausage. Any kind of meat is what they want. So that's what you like too. So it's you and your dad.
And my mom.
And your mom.
And on Friday nights, we'll get like pizza and wings or nachos, and then we'll sit on the couch and watch a really good movie. And then sometimes we'll just sit there and we binge watch on Cupcake Wars or Food Network, just period.
You know, the common thread in everything you've said is food. That's why I know you're my kind of girl right there. That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah, but we really like to just hang out.
That's great. Hanging out is good.
It's fun.
It is fun to hang out, especially when you've been working hard. Okay, Jude, this is a really good question. I love that you have this one.
Trinity and Lilina, do you have good friends around you?
Yes. I have really good friends around me. That's something that my mom is really particular that I have really good friends around me and people that are really positive so that way they can influence me in a good godly way. But I have really good friends and we're really close and we have sleepovers sometimes, but it's really important that I have good friends.
What about you, Lena?
I have great friends. A lot of my friends I kind of pour into, and it's like, because I like to be able to like reach out to some of my friends who like aren't as strong in their relationship with God. And then I do have some friends who like I'm really strong with, but she just moved, sadly.
She did?
Yeah, she moved. Well, not Jess at all, but she moved to Missouri. But now I do have like some really close like Christian friends who like give me a positive impact.
Well, that's good, because do you guys ever worry that there are some people who might be trying to be your friend just either because they've seen you do the job that you do, or they're impressed by something about you, but you don't know if they really like you for who you are? Has that ever happened?
Yes. That's why I like my friends a lot, because they're like, I've known them since
forever.
Yeah. So they're not like, oh my gosh, are you for real? Like, they're still like really normal. And I like that about people when they're like really normal.
Normal's good.
Yeah.
That's the one thing that I'm really happy about, that I found all the friends that I hang out with before I booked the show, so that way, you know, I know that they're my true friends and they're not just with me just so they can, you know, say, yeah, my friend's on the show.
Yeah.
But it's good to know that they're actually really my friend and they've been there with me through it all. But a lot of people, some people have tried to, but it's good that we're able to kind of spot it out. Spot it out.
Yeah. Can you tell me what you think are some of the major issues that you see young ladies your age dealing with that are really a struggle for them at sixth grade, fifth grade, seventh grade level? What are some of the major struggles that you find them having a hard time dealing with?
So this one is like, were you about to go? Oh, never mind. I thought you were about to talk.
Go ahead.
So this one is more like middle school, like when you reach that point in life where you like get social media and stuff and you see like all these people who are like have this image that they want to like be like. So self-image is one of them. Like a lot of my friends have a hard time, like some of them have a hard time. They're like, oh my gosh, I wish I was skinnier or whatever. And so it's just like, you're perfect the way you are, and there's no need to try to be someone else to look like so-and-so. Like, yeah. You're who you are.
Do you think that social media really is more harmful than good, or do you think that it's a good thing that just sort of has some harmful threads if you're not careful and protective of it? How do you think it's affecting?
I think it can be great because you get to pour out, like, God's love on it and stuff, but I do know that there are, like, harmful threads, but I think people get the wrong conception on, like, social media. Is that the right word? Social media. So they point out, like, the bad stuff. But if you have boundaries and, like, you know that you're not going to, like, go on that stuff, I mean, it can be really great because that's how you reach out to, like, people who you would, like, never really reach out to.
Yeah, good, good. What about you? What do you think are some of the major things you've seen young ladies your age dealing with?
A lot of things are, like, bullying and peer pressure. A lot of girls around my age and older, they get a lot of bullying and peer pressure because they're always trying to change and try to be like somebody else, but they really just have to kind of find themselves and be their own self.
Yeah. That's good. You guys are really wise. You sound really wise. Don't they sound really wise to be the age that they are?
Thank you.
Oh, you have another question?
Alina. Wait, have I said this one yet?
You can say that one if you'd like to.
Alina, do you think it is fun to do your job? Did I already say that?
Well, it's okay for you to say it again because, Alina, actually, both of you are not just actors. You're not just actors. You have a lot of other things going on in your life. One of them I know for you, Alina, is that right this minute you're in the middle of co-writing, along with your incredible mom, you're co-writing some fiction books for young girls your age. And so it's a trilogy series that will be coming out. And so we do want to know a little bit about whether or not it's kind of fun to do that job of writing. But tell us a little bit about the series that you're writing.
So the series is about a girl named Lena Daniel. Daniels, one of those. And so she's sort of like me. She looks like me on the cover and stuff. So it's, like, kind of my story. And she's, like, trying to control her life, sort of. Like, she has her whole life planned out. And then all of a sudden she gets this, like, movie opportunity with this really cool celebrity that she loves. And so it, like, really just changes, like, her perspective on life and stuff.
Yeah.
And so God, she just has to learn to trust God. And I hope that girls, like, really realize, like, the importance of trusting God. Because if you don't trust God, he can't really do anything in your life that you want.
Yep, go ahead.
That you really want him, like, that he wants to do because you don't, like, fully put all of your trust in him.
That's really great. And so you're writing these novels in the hopes that young women will pick them up and get more than a good story. That's not your main goal. What's your main goal with these books?
Oh, well, sort of like I said,
Just,
like, really understand, like, God's purpose for their lives and that it doesn't have to be, like, exactly the way they want it because God created them, so he knows what's best for them. So, like, if you're, like, trying to be an actress but it doesn't work out, like, just know that God, like, has it under control and that he told you, like, not to do that for a certain reason because he has something else for you, or, like, vice versa.
And so to Jude's question that he asked, is it fun? To Dude's question
you?
That he just yawned out.
Are we boring you?
Yes.
Oh my God. Such a co-host.
This co-hosting gig is going a little differently than I had planned.
Alrighty.
Okay, last question.
But hold on, you already asked a question. You were asking her, is it fun to do her job. So tell me, is it fun to write this book alongside your mom?
Yes, let's move on.
Yeah, what do you think?
Yes, it's a lot of fun because it's like, this is really kind of a bonding moment for me and my mom. And so we're learning to, like, to work together and, like, really, because we have, like, different ideas and stuff. So we have to be patient with one another and, like, really, like, learn, like, I guess the way our minds work, sort of.
Yeah.
And, like, really, like, teamwork, you know,
yeah,
like that.
Yeah,
it makes the teamwork.
Yeah.
And so some of it isn't fun, though, because, like, you have to, like, stop. You can't go to a friend's house because you have to write or something. But for the most part, it's really fun.
That's great. Well, that's great. We're excited about that series, aren't we? We're excited about
it. One more question.
Hang on. Let's get Trinity's response to that because you've got other things going on as well other than acting. Tell us what else you're doing.
So I'm working on my music and my fashion line.
Are you serious?
I am serious.
What? So first, music, what does that look like? So you're a singer, too?
I'm a singer, too.
Oh, my goodness.
So it's like my style of music is like an inspirational gospel, pop, country thing.
Something, something, something.
Yes, it's a whole lot. It's like something. A mixture, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like Could that. You give us just a, like a couple lines? Can you just sing a couple lines of something? Anything, whatever you got.
Well, see, then they wouldn't want to buy a CD.
Just a couple lines. It's just a couple lines.
Though?
Anything. Anything you want to sing.
Well.
I mean, you could sing Amazing Grace. You could sing a couple lines of Amazing Grace. We'll take
okay.
it. Okay.
Why not?
Okay.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
Oh, stop it. Oh, stop it.
That's awesome.
Well, thank you.
Multi-talented ladies that we have here on this platform.
You know how we do.
Well, that's how you do it. That's right. The sky's the limit for you guys, really. I think that there's incredible plans that God has in store for you. And the thing that I'm impressed about most about you and my co-host here is that you have not allowed fear or intimidation to keep you from just launching out into stuff that's new ground for you. Acting was not something you were doing on some other, you know, three or four other huge shows before this one.
No, this was my first show.
Yeah, it's your first show, but you just went out there and you just did it and you're doing it well. Same for you, your first film, and it wasn't like some small no-name film. I mean, it's a film that millions of people saw, but you just launched out into this new ground. And do you know sometimes we lose what we have as children? And that is a childlike faith that wherever God calls me, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to do it. And I'm going to believe that if he's called me to it, he's going to equip me for it. And seeing you guys act in that way, respond in that way to the stuff of life, the acting, the singing, the writing, all that stuff, that inspires us to do the same. Would you guys please help me to thank them for being on our program today? My co-host. Welcome. I'm so glad that you're joining us. Listen, this is part two of a conversation. I have already been having a juicy conversation, a delightful conversation with these two wonderful young ladies right here. We've been talking about just their lives, which are rich and full of so much good stuff. We've got Trinity Stokes over here who, you know, you may have seen her face a time or two on KC Undercover. And then we have this wonderful young woman, Alina Pitts, who's also joining her. She might look familiar as well. She played in the movie War Room. But their lives are filled with so many other things. And that's what we've been talking about in part one of this conversation that you've got to go back and view if you didn't see that part because it's really good stuff. They're back with me again for part two. Would you guys help me to welcome them back to the show? So glad to have you guys. But we're not only going to be talking to you in part two, we're going to be talking to some other young ladies who, you know, because that's what this show is about. It's about young people who have decided to use their lives to dream big, to do big things, to do good things, really, that impact the lives of other people. And with that in mind, I cannot wait to introduce you to these two young ladies who I just met today, but I've heard about for so long. Their story is incredible. Please help me to welcome Catherine and Isabel Adams. So glad that you guys are here. You're going to come over and take a seat right over here. You're going to join in with these other ladies. We're so glad that you guys are here. Sisters.
Yes.
Yes. Can you tell us how old you are?
I'm 13.
And I'm 10.
13 and 10 years old. And what we're about to talk about, the dream that you've had that has now impacted hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people the world over, that dream started 5 years ago. So you had a dream when you were 8 and you were 5. And it's now 5 years down the line and you've made an incredible impact. Your organization is called Paper for Water. Would you please tell us about Paper for Water?
So Paper for Water is a nonprofit organization that we started 5 years ago. And we raise money for water wells in developing countries by selling origami.
By selling origami. Now, for everybody yes. who is not quite exactly sure what origami is, I have some samples here. While I show these samples, I want you to just tell us a little bit about what origami is, what it means, and how you do it.
So origami is the art of paper folding, which originated in Japan. And so you take, it's usually about 30 sheets of paper, and you all fold them. You fold them all the same way, and then you assemble them into a modular origami piece. They each take about 30 pieces of paper and about anywhere from an hour to 5 hours.
Do you want to see this? Hey, Trinity, Alina, grab one of those and take a peek at that. Now, are these the ones that I've got in my hands, these look like they're supposed to be Christmas ornaments. Is that why these were made?
So they started out as Christmas ornaments, but now we have all sorts of different types of ornaments and decorations.
Okay, so did the two of you just get together one day, and what pricked your heart for water wells to begin with and for making sure people had clean water?
So when we were really, really little, our dad, he made these cutout wooden dogs and horses with us, like out of plywood, and then we hand-painted them, and we sold them at Starbucks to raise money for a children's hospital in Dallas, and we really loved doing it. And so when we learned about the need for water, we really thought it wasn't fair that girls our age didn't get to go to school and play like regular kids, and so we really wanted to do something about that.
And what brought origami to mind? Because it's not something that, you know, you kind of think of while you're just, you know, running errands throughout the day. So this is kind of a unique skill. It's a unique talent. How did you think of this, and is it something you had to learn, or did you already know it?
My dad is half Japanese, so...
Hey.
As origami originated in Japan, he grew up like folding origami. And so he taught us when we were younger. And so it was just like a fun craft that we could do. And so when we thought of something that we could raise money with, origami just popped in our minds. So.
Okay, so you started making, I'm sure you weren't making something this complex when you were 5 and 8 year old, right? So what did it look like 5 years ago?
So it kind of looked more like the blue one that's in your lap.
Well,
but this is a little bit more simple than that.
Okay.
But not much more. It has the same, like it was the same shape, but a couple folds less complicated.
Okay. All right. And so you would make those as young little girls, just the two of you at first.
Yes. Yes.
And then what would you do? Would you make just a handful of them and then take them to go try to sell those?
So we made a bunch of them. We had like 40 or 50, I think. And we took them to Starbucks one night and we had this big party and a bunch of people came and bought them. And then we had them up at Starbucks for the rest of the month.
So Starbucks let you leave them there for folks
yes.
to buy them. And so from that very first fundraising event, how much money did you make?
The first night we sold out and we raised about $800 that night.
The first night.
Yes.
Did you feel inspired and motivated right
yes,
after that first
cause
night?
Because we planned to do it for about a month and we planned to only raise anywhere from $500 to $1,000. So.
The whole month?
Yes.
Yes.
So you felt inspired. What did you do with that first $800?
So our goal was to partially fund a well in Ethiopia. And so I think after that first night, we were like, well, maybe we can fund the whole well. And so we send all of our money, well, most of it to Living Water International, and they go and drill our wells for us. So we didn't send it in yet, but we waited until the end of the year to send in our money. And so we just kept raising money, and eventually, by the end of the year, we had raised about $10,000 for the whole well.
Okay, I heard you. Yes, that's amazing. But wait, that's not even the like kicker, because here we are now 5 years down the line, and how much money has your organization raised so far?
Over $860,000.
Wow. Whoa. That's amazing. So you just took a little interest that you had, a little skill, a little passion that you had, something that your dad had taught you, and you decided with this. See, most people think, my little paper folding or my little ability to write a poem or my little ability to make good cookies and maybe something, that's just, it's not enough to actually make a dent in a big problem like clean drinking water. But instead of talking yourselves out of it, You decided to just go ahead and use what was in your hand and do the best you could. And now here you are 5 years later, and a whole lot of people have had clean water because of you. This is good stuff right here, isn't it? So now can you tell us, because it's not just the two of you making some paper ornaments anymore. What does your organization look like now?
We have hundreds of volunteers anywhere from the age of 5 to 85. And
where do they meet? Where do these all these hundreds of volunteers meet, in their own homes, or what do they do?
So once a week on Tuesday morning from I think 10 to like 3 o'clock, I think about 20 women come to our house and they fold paper and they have lunch with us. Well, with my mom, we're at school, and then once a month on I think the first.
Any Saturday.
Yeah. We have about 50 volunteers that come, and we go to our church, and we just fold, and we kind of pump them up, and so.
Get them motivated?
Yeah,
for like 2 hours.
For like 2 hours, and you guys get as many ornaments or whatever figures that you have. You get all those together, and then how are they sold now?
So we go to gift fairs and like craft fairs all over the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
That's hard work. When you're hauling your materials around and taking it from one fair to another, this is not like you guys aren't sitting back eating bonbons, relaxing, chilling out while everybody else is doing the work. You and your parents, with your parents' help, because this is a huge commitment on their part too. You're going to all these different fairs to make sure that people know not just about what you're able to do with your hands, but what you're trying to do with your heart in impacting the lives of other people. So you're going to fairs all over.
And we also have an online store, and we sell them online. And then we have them at two gift shops in Dallas, and they just sell them for us. And we just bring them ornaments when they run out. And it's kind of an easy way for us to get like help people be able to find the ornaments and stuff. So.
And what is your hope? What is your hope for what this organization will do? Because it seems to me like y'all are in this for the long haul. It wasn't a month after all, right?
No.
So what's your hope for this?
Well, our long-term goal is to solve the whole water crisis.
Well, just a small little goal there. Just a small thing. Yeah.
And then our goal for the end of this year is to get to $1 million.
I think you can reach that goal. You're almost there. That's a good goal right there, sis. Good for you. I want to ask all of you this question because here I am sitting here looking at four young, you know that you guys, I was about to say accomplished, because do you know that you guys have done more than some adult women I know who have allowed this shell of insecurity, which all of us have these little voices in us. You know, we got about 6 different people in us, and one of them is always saying, girl, don't even try. You can't do that. You're not capable enough. You're not smart enough. You're not talented enough. Let her do it. She's better than you. She's more talented than you. And so many of us spend our lives, I mean, I know 40, 50, 60-year-old women that are still sort of wallowing around because they've always let fear talk them out of just doing what God has called them to do. I want to know what you've done with that little voice in your head, because I know you've got to experience. Tell me a little bit about that little voice in your head that sometimes is trying to convince you that you're not capable enough. What you do with that and how you are able to push past it and move on with doing the thing. You can start, Trinity.
So when I auditioned for the show, they were looking for a 10-year-old, and I was 8 at the time. So I auditioned, and I got to the last round, and there was an 8-year-old, which was me, a 12-year-old, and a 13-year-old, and a 14-year-old. So the little voice in my head was like, oh, you're not going to get it because they're older than you. They're older than what they're looking for. So they're obviously going to pick one of these 3 girls because you're younger than them. Mm-hmm. But what I try to do is I just try to block it out, and I say a prayer to myself, or I do what I need to do to get that little voice out of my head. I'll just focus in on God and just focus in on what I'm there to do, and it'll just kind of quiet back.
You know? Is there a specific verse when you say focus on God? Is there a specific verse or a specific thought that maybe your parents have taught you about from the scriptures that really is what anchors you and keeps that fear from taking control?
Yeah, that I can do all things through Jesus Christ that strengthens me. That's the one that they have drilled in me. And I never thought I would ever use it. I was just like, oh, they're just drilling this in me for 10 years. They're just drilling this in me. but I never thought I would use it. But it turns out I actually use it a lot more than I expected.
Yeah, and you will for the rest of your life, honey. I can tell you that right now. Alina, what about you? What does that little voice tell you?
A lot of times it tells me, like, I have, like fear is probably, like, my biggest thing. And so I'm, like, afraid and, like, insecure. And I'm like, oh, no, I have to, like, talk really loud or something like that. And so Psalms 4, I, like, just read over it. Because it's one of those verses, like, have you ever opened the Bible? And it's just, like, the perfect verse, like, yeah. What you need, like, right yeah. then and there. Yeah. And so I was like, that's really important. So I'll just, like, read over that when I'm feeling like.
Psalm 4?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
When I'm, like, you know, like, just, like, really feeling, like, down and, like, I'm not worth it and stuff. And so God has really helped me through that. And, like, I mean, he just is really there. And so it's just great when you, like, can feel his presence and it's not like, oh, my gosh, I'm afraid. Like, he's just there.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so feeling his presence, like, really just takes that fear yeah. away.
And I love that you said that, Alina, because the reality is when I see the two of you sitting next to each other, you've both done something in the same field, but both of you are very clearly very different people, really outgoing, an introvert. And you're right, sometimes that fear might say, you know what, I need to be like her in order to excel in whatever role it is. And you need to know that at 30-year-olds and 40-year-olds and 50-year-olds, we deal with the exact same thing. We're constantly looking at each other going, if I was just a little bit like her. But listen, the Lord has given you an assignment. He's given you a lane to run in. And if we're constantly trying to play somebody else's role on the stage of life, then who in the world's going to play you? Because you're the only one that can play you. So you're doing excellent jobs of just being you. Tell me what that voice is. What does it say to you that you can't do or you're not capable of doing?
Usually at the beginning of the year when we start to, like, think about what our goal is going to be, the voice is like, oh, you can't do that.
Can't reach that.
You're not smart enough. You're not good enough. And when I have to do tests in school, like, my voice is, like, just saying, like, oh, you're just going to fail it and you shouldn't even try. And, like, you're just not good enough. Mm-hmm. And so I think about, like, that God's always with me and that he's never going to leave me and that, all, like what Trinity said, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
That's so good. That's so good. We're so glad you try. We're so glad that you don't let that little voice convince you not to even make the attempt to do what you're doing, because you're doing remarkable things. What about you?
For me, oftentimes it's like I really just don't want to do it, and I feel like sometimes I get really nervous in front of crowds. Like, I probably shouldn't. Very, like, I don't know why, because I do things in front of people all the time. But just before I get on stage, sometimes I get really nervous and I don't want to do it. But one of my favorite verses is Galatians 6:9, which is, do not grow weary in doing good, for at the right time you will reap a harvest if you do not give up. And I just really love that, especially with Paper for Water, because there's times when I just really want to stop and go back to having sort of a more normal life, I guess.
Is your life kind of not normal?
Yeah, I think.
How is it not normal? How does it look different from your other kids that you know?
Well, I mean, just being here today. I mean, it's Monday, so it's a school day.
Yeah.
And
you're
I missed
school, aren't you?
Which honestly, I was pretty happy about, because
I'm glad I could help with that.
I had a history test today that I got a miss.
But so you're gonna have to make your history test up though.
Yeah, I'll probably have to do that tomorrow.
Okay. Did you study? Are you ready?
Sort of.
Okay. I'll write you a note. I'll write a note to your history teacher. I don't know if she'll accept it, but that's it.
But I think, I mean, if you just keep doing it and just realize that, you, like for me, that I'm actually making a huge difference in people's lives, then it's just all worth it.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Do you find that the things that you guys are concerned about in life, like the perspective you have on things, is different than your friends? In other words, they might be talking about things that to you seem a little superficial or a little kind of, it just doesn't seem as important to you, because maybe some of the experiences you've had, particularly you two ladies with your focus on folks having clean drinking water, do you sometimes find that you're interested in sort of elevating the thinking or the interests of the kids around you, because you're kind of like, y'all, there's so much more to think about other than the things you're talking about? Do you ever find that you feel a disconnect between you and your friends? Talk to me about that.
Well, actually, I was kind of just talking about that the other day with my parents, and I sometimes feel like, why are they even, like, worrying about that? Or
like what? Worried
like,
about?
What you wear, or, I mean, like, what sports you play, or how good you are. And honestly, like, at my school, we wear a school uniform, and so, like, honestly, I don't, like, care really about clothes at all. And I don't play sports,
So I kind of, like, it's very, my life is, I guess, a little bit different than a lot of my friends, and especially with Paper for Water. And, I mean, I think just doing what we do, it just changes, like, our perspective and, you know, like, yeah, how we look at things, so.
What about you guys? Your perspective different on anything than your friends you find?
A lot of my friends, like, they're glued to their phone a lot. Like, they're worried about social media and, like, video games and stuff like that, that, like, I don't really value as much because I don't have any electronics.
You don't have any electronics?
No, we don't have, well, we don't have, we have a TV, but we don't have cable, so we don't really watch TV very much, and I don't have, like, an iPod or anything like that, so.
Huh. Very interesting.
Well, hey, I bet you they're super focused on Paper for Water, though.
I bet you they are. I bet you they are. And you know what? In a minute, because this is going to be, we're going to finish this line of questioning. Then really how I want to end this segment is to really talk about your parents. Because with you guys sitting up here, the only thing I hear and see right now is that y'all have amazing parents. That's what
Hallelujah.
It is. It's a statement about the parents that you have and the choices, the hard choices that they've made to rear you in a specific way that is not congruent with society, it's not congruent with your friends, and that's okay. They want you to be who God has called you to be, so that's awesome. Alina and Trinity, both of you were about to say something about how you sometimes feel there's maybe a disconnect between you and your friends a little bit.
It's a little bit frustrating because you don't want to, like, tell them, like, are you really, like, worried about this? Like, who cares what you look like?
Yeah.
I mean, like, some people do, but who cares what they think?
Yeah.
And so it really just frustrates me because you're over here, like, thinking about, oh my gosh, should I go out of the country or something? And your friends are like, oh my gosh, my phone broke. I mean, it just frustrates me a little. And so, like, I mean, I just have to, like, pray about it, like, kind of just, like, pray that God will, like, really reach them so that they won't be worried about stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
For me, it's a little bit what Isabel said. It's kind of like people are always on their phone, and it's like, I kind of like to be creative. I kind of like to think. I like to think of new ideas and new inventions, and I like to tinker. I'm not really always on the devices. Even though I have an iPod, I can only use it on the weekends. At first, I thought that was the most bizarre decision ever. I was like, no! But now I think it's a great choice because it allows me to be...
Well, I'm glad you approve of your parents' decision.
I approve this message.
But let me just say, though, that I think that what you just said is so interesting because I think that electronics are dumbing us all down.
Yeah.
Like, there's no room or margin for creativity anymore. Because we're already, we have something thinking for us, we have something sort of numbing us, sort of causing us to be zombies walking around, and I don't think that we realize that if we're never bored, in other words, if we rob particularly from our children, if we rob from them the opportunity to have nothing to do, to be bored, if we rob them of that, we also rob them of the privilege of coming up. Y'all know when we were little, we had to come up with stuff to do. You know what I mean? We had to be creative and run around with our friends and tinker, like you just said. We had margin in our minds to do that. And now we haven't given our kids opportunity to do that because they're inundated with all these electronics. So I actually think that it is not bizarre at all.
Neither do I anymore.
That's right.
My mom actually did this thing. So I was watching a lot of TV. I was catching up on all my shows for like 2 weeks, right?
Uh-huh.
And I was not creative at all. I wasn't thinking at all. So my mom cut the TV off. I was not allowed to watch it for about 2 weeks, the same amount of time that I was binge watching all my shows, right?
Mm-hmm.
I came up with about 5 new inventions. It was amazing. And my mom was like, see, you need to stop watching all that TV.
I bet she looked exactly like that when she said
she
it.
She did.
Actually. Yeah. Does she do this whole thing you do like this? Does she do that too?
That's as much as I do, though.
Not as much as you do.
Pretty similar.
Well, I want to ask you about your parents, all of you. I think that you must have remarkable parents because for you to have the esteem that you have that's very clearly been planted in you, not just about the kind of woman that you are, but whose you are, who you belong to, that's so clear that they have been deliberate and intentional about that. And so for you to be so remarkable, what we really want to know is, think about some intentional things you've watched your parents do. Like one of them you just told us, Trinity, just making a boundary for you that I don't care what television show you on. In this house, you're not going to be on your iPod all day long. I love that you have boundaries there. What are some things that your parents have put in place for your life? No electronics in your home for your parents. That's what they chose to do. What are some things you've seen your parents do? And now when you look at it, you're like, huh, that really is helping to shape me into the woman that I've become. What do you think about your mom and dad?
Well, I mean, kind of like what you said, we don't have a TV really. And honestly, I'm kind of glad because I love to read. And honestly, I don't even remember the last time I watched a whole movie. So that's, I mean, that sounds probably really odd for a 13-year-old. But it's kind of nice because it's a lot more quiet and, like, you have a space to, like, think, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I love reading and drawing and just kind of just sitting there and thinking, you know?
Yeah.
And, I mean, sometimes I wish I had a phone and sometimes I wish I had a TV, but then there's times when I realize, oh, it's just kind of not worth it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of nice not to have it.
You're so mature. Wow. You know, I know these two young guys. Well, they're 18 and 15 now. But they have helped me probably for the past 6 years. I've sort of been brainstorming this series that I've written called the Prince Warriors series.
I just read the first book today.
Did you read the first? Did you like it okay?
Mm-hmm.
Woo! I'm so glad. That would have been embarrassing if you would have said it's terrible. I'm so glad. But these guys have been helping me brainstorm for 6 years. I'd write stories up and I'd send it to these boys because they're very imaginative. They love like creativity. They can like create video games and stuff. And one of the things I noticed about them is exactly what you guys are saying. They have really, they have one little television, analog TV that's in the back of their house. They don't really watch TV, and they have space in their brains to be creative. And they have been so helpful in sort of dreaming up where these stories and these characters could go. And again, I see them when I look at you in the sense that they've had margin for imagination. And that's what you've had because of the boundaries your parents have put around you. That's awesome. What about you? Anything else that you've seen your parents do, even in how they've taught you or how they've instructed you, that has sort of shaped the kind of woman you are?
My dad, he's very particular about getting us to church every single week. And we do horseback riding, and we kind of sometimes we want to do shows, and they're always on Sunday morning.
What do you mean shows?
Shows.
Like jumping shows or...
with horses. Shows. Got it. Okay.
But my dad always sends us to church instead. And it's just been, because like sometimes I'm one of the only kids in Sunday school, because especially over the holidays and everybody's out doing like parties and stuff. But it's just really great because every Sunday we all need to go to church and kind of just like hear more about God and sort of just like get hyped up for the week. And so.
Yeah.
I was thinking more relaxed.
That's awesome. And I'm going to ask you two the same question, but I got to ask you guys this. I don't know if you could talk about this or not, but I heard that something very interesting and unique and exciting is about to happen with your family. For about 8 months, you're going to have something going on. Can you share a little bit about what's getting ready to happen, what your parents are getting ready to do with your family?
So we're going to take off 8 months and go travel all around the world. And we're going to go to South America and visit some of the wells we funded and also Africa. And a couple other places, and we've been planning this for like 3 years. And actually, when I was in kindergarten, so 8 years ago, my dad, we were on a campout, and he was like, one day I want to take off and go travel the world. And I think that was kind of when like he first got the idea, and that was like 8 years ago. So we've really been planning this for a long time. And so now we're really excited, and we're going to go.
I heard your dad selling, like, your cars, mm-hmm. selling everything, and you guys are, well, what's your history teacher going to think about that?
She's going to get an A.
So you're going to homeschool then for at least that year,
we're
right?
We're going to be doing, like, all our same classes and stuff that our friends are doing, but we're going to, like, be doing it online, and so.
Yeah, and so your dad's going to take you to see the wells that you've been able to help build all over the world.
Our whole family's going, even our younger sister.
Isn't that awesome, y'all? That's awesome. We're excited about that. Okay, Alina, it's your turn. Tell us about your parents and what they have done that's made you the person that you are.
So a lot of this is true, but probably having a phone and like they won't let me have a phone yet. And so, I mean, this is kind of what we've been talking about. But like, if you really think about it, like, I've started to like not even care anymore when my friends like, you don't have a phone. I'm like, nope, no, I don't.
That's our job as parents, to wear you down.
So it's gotten to the point where I'm just like, whatever, I don't even care anymore. Because now I really am grateful that I'm like not that one kid that's like glued on their phone or like getting it taken away because you did something.
Yeah.
Or like, so it's just made me, and it, I think it just makes you like really grateful because like the fact that you do have this and this and this.
Yeah.
And this. And so I think it's kind of like made me a little bit more grateful.
That's great. That's great.
The one thing that I'm very grateful that my parents have instructed me in is they really make sure that we sit down and have devotionals in the morning or in the evening, but we always have Bible study, whether it be in the morning, in the evening, or in the car. We always have some form of the Word of God in us daily, and that's, I think that that is very critical for everybody to have, so that way, like, once we read it afterwards, we feel so much at ease and more peaceful and joyful instead of being grumpy all day. And it's kind of like your morning coffee or something. It gets you so excited.
Girl, what you know about morning coffee?
I've never had it. I hear that people, that's what makes people hype. I don't know.
Okay.
Never. I don't drink coffee. I'm not allowed to.
You're not allowed to. It's yet another boundary in your life.
I don't like coffee.
It does taste kind of weird, but you know, if you put some butter pecan creamer in there, you'll be all right.
They accidentally put some in my Starbucks drink.
So you get a Starbucks drink that doesn't have any coffee in it, I heard,
no.
Like milk and like caramel or something.
I get a pumpkin spice latte, no caffeine, with whipped cream and caramel. If you're making a Starbucks run, let me know.
You all are delightful young ladies. And really, more than just sort of applauding your accomplishments, we're actually challenged by your accomplishments. We're challenged and inspired that if there's something that we can do, even if someone else might look at this skill, this talent, this gift that we have and think that it's minor, that it's not, that we really can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So correct me if I'm wrong, but I've heard that there's a little gift from you guys. There's a gift for everybody that is in the studio audience today.
Yes.
That's going to go home with one of these. So they made them just for you. We want to thank all of you for being here. And you know what? We're going to clap our way out of the show, but we want you to know that we're not really clapping for you on the way out. We're going to be clapping for your parents because we think you have exceptional parents.